Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If I'm fucking someone's day up, good. They're gonna remember me and my asshole.
Welcome to the 45th episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast with a wide angle lens. My guest today is Ellen Stagg, a self-described voyeuristic pervert. She is one of my favorite female photographers I have ever modeled for, and she's also created portraits of pretty much every other professional naked person you've ever heard of. In fact, Ellen actually took the picture of me on the guitar amp that is the logo of this year's podcast. In part one, Ellen and I talked about the difference between objectification and exploitation in erotic photography. Part two will be in your feeds the day after Valentine's Day. I hope you're following along with the essays I've been writing for each episode of Why Are People Into That on the feminist blog The Establishment, which is now also on Medium. I also have a new piece up on Refinery 29 about marching with sex workers at the Women's March in Washington, D.C. And I hope you're pledging a little cash on my Patreon. That's Patreon/TINAHORN. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram for updates on all of my writing and adventures and outrage. And please, my fellow Americans, call your representative and tell them that you're not going to stand for this shit. It's the least that you can do. I hope you're doing more with your time, with your money, with your love for yourself, your community, and the people who are most threatened by our government right now. So, attach your leather camera strap or strike a pose for part one of Why Are People Into Erotic Photography. Hello, Ellen Stagg.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm so happy that you're here on the show and we're going to talk about pretty pictures. I was thinking about how I was just really admired your work before I even met you when I was living in the Bay, and it seemed like every porn star and model that I knew had shot with you, and I just loved all of the pictures of them. They always seemed like the picture that the person in the photo wanted to take, like that the subject was collaborating with you more than other pictures that I had seen of them, and that had always made me want to work with you. And then I'm trying to remember when we met.
We met during Madison Young's like talk.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
In like Bushwick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were sitting next to each other and we were both talking. Yes.
Right, right. Oh, yes. We were on a panel together, of course. How can I forget? Right. And you did a slideshow of your work. What is your work, Ellen, for people who are not familiar?
Well, I like to describe myself as somebody who takes pictures of women of dress and undress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or I like naked ladies. So, cool. But because I do commercial work too. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. sometimes have clothes on. And I once in a blue moon, I do shoot men mm-hmm. like Buck Angel or I shot a comedian recently who's a man.
He wearing clothes?
And he was wearing clothes.
Okay.
But, well, yeah, that's funny. Buck was wearing clothes and took his clothes off too. But, I'm mostly known for photographing women.
And you've been doing Stag Street, which is sort of your main website, for like close to a decade?
Yes, I would say 8.5 years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I launched it when I was 30 and I'm about to be 39.
Oh man, what's your secret?
Good creams.
Okay. 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 We need to get your cream regime, maybe on an extra segment. To keep that youthful glow. And so Stag Street is a membership site.
Yes.
Where people can see all of your original photography of sexy stills of naked ladies.
Yes.
Cool.
And it's solo girl. Sometimes the most I shot, I think, was 5 girls at the same time.
Cool.
It wasn't like a gangbang kind of thing. They were just all posing in the back of a conversion van and looking very 70s.
Oh my God, but, I love that.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. But, and so your work is not hardcore or rarely hardcore.
There is some hardcore in it, especially when I shot Justine Jolie. If I photographed her with another lady, it would happen. They would have end up having sex.
Yeah.
But I never direct them to have sex together. If it happens organically, that's awesome. But there's been even times where I'm like, I photographed her and Madison Young together and they started having sex and I just walked away. And because they were in the moment and I wasn't going to stop a beautiful moment, but I got my pictures, you know?
And that is I mean, okay, I hesitate to make a generalization about gender, but this is more of a generalization about photographers, but my instinct was to say that is the difference between a female photographer and a male photographer. Like, obviously, there are sleazy female photographers in the world. I'm sure you've had your sleazy moments, Ellen. And there are, you know, very respectful male photographers, but man, I know so many GWCs. Are you familiar with the term GWC, guy with camera?
Oh yes,
that's like a sort of old school sex work term for, you know, the guy like on Model Mayhem or FetLife who messages you and is like, I have a camera, so you should come over and get naked and I'll take pictures of you and you can use them to promote your work and we'll do trade for print. And sometimes those guys were fine and sometimes they were
not so fine.
Yeah.
There was actually a model recently who started like a blog for blacklisting those kind of people.
Awesome.
To protect other models, and she got sued.
By who?
By one of the photographers.
Oh my God.
She ended up winning.
Awesome.
Thankfully, or I guess you don't win when you get sued. She just didn't end up getting sued.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they settled.
Yeah, they
and
settled.
She didn't have to pay
but
any money.
But it still cost her to get enough lawyers like $60,000. It was like her and this other model. And like I gave to their GoFundMe because I felt awful. And it's a First Amendment right for her to make that blog to protect other models, you know?
Ugh.
Like, so yeah, it is scary out there.
Man, that's so interesting. I mean, I definitely know that. Okay, so then eventually I did get to shoot with you.
Yes.
And I did find that, first of all, the pictures that you shot of me, that was several years ago, but I still use those pictures all the time. People love them. People really respond to them. I love the way that I look in them. I feel like you captured an attitude, but also just like, I don't know if it's part of it is how comfortable you made me, because I get very tense being photographed. I've never liked doing it. But also, I don't know, it is apparently like kind of hard to like capture the sexiness of my body, apparently. Like, that's been my experience working with a lot of GWCs and like, you know, even professional photographers. And I felt like you were very matter of fact, like you knew exactly how to capture
my
sexiness.
I remember when I saw your butt for the first time with my camera. I remember asking you if you knew how much power your ass had. Mm. And you were like, wow, nobody's asked me that question before. And I was like, really? I was like, your ass is so amazing that I would think that you know how much power, but I guess you never put it into words before.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, I already had been making a living off of my ass for many years, but I guess no one had ever... I'd forgotten this, actually, that you asked me that. I think maybe no one had ever used the word power before. And I really, yeah, I liked that. And by the way, it, like, made me feel really comfortable and sexy and confident. And, you know, I can't see my ass that well. So it's nice when I'm a photographer, like, you know, you get to get back there and get all the good angles. Even though, you know, since then I've been practicing the art of the, like, spinal twist for the butt selfie. But it's always nice when you have somebody with a nice camera and a talent and an eye to get back there and do it for you.
Well, thank you. And I noticed that my picture is basically your podcast picture. The one of you sitting on the speaker.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The logo of this show. Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought of that, Ellen. The logo of this show was shot by you.
Uh-huh.
Well, it is about damn time that you come on this show. Yes, absolutely. So... part of the reason that you are here today is that you just put out your first book of your pictures, even though your pictures have lived on the internet and, like, in art galleries and various spaces for a very long time. But so your first book is out and it's called Dirty Girl. Tell me about the book.
Yeah, it's called The Dirty Girl Collection, Naked and Uncensored. It is 420 images, 320 pages long. It's over 50 models and it's all images from Stack Street. Basically Goliath Publishing contacted me many years ago and they were like, hey, we're doing a collaboration book on stockings. Can you send us some stockings photos? So I was like, yeah. So I sat there for like a whole day, went through every single one of my photos, found the best ones with stockings in it. And sent them a whole, like, Dropbox or whatever, like, here's a bunch of stockings. And they passed on it.
Hmm.
And then they emailed me again asking for some kind of other fetishy thing. And I sent them a bunch of pictures and they passed. And so a little over a year ago in the fall of, I guess it's 2015, they contacted me again. And I said, you know what? Here's a pass to my site. I don't have time for this.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, I've spent days trying to put together what I thought was appropriate for you. And I send them a pass to my site and they contact me back. They were like, we decided we need to do an entire book on just your work. And yes. I was like, okay, now we can talk.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Now I have time for you.
Awesome. Well, what would you say characterizes your work? Like, what makes it distinct from other membership sites of Naked Ladies, besides the fact that it's totally independent, every picture is shot by you, and all of the bookings are done by you as well, right?
Yes. I mean,
these are, like, all of these pictures are either people reaching out to you and saying, let's work together, you know, you reaching out to someone and saying, I'd like to shoot you. It's not like there are, like, booking agencies, like, sending you models or anything like that.
Yeah.
So besides that, which I think is very important and really does show in the content of the work, I mean, I know that you have a lot of models who have tattoos or maybe, like, a little bit unconventional, and you do definitely, like, have an eye for and an understanding of fetish, like you mentioned, stockings, and, you know, there's definitely, I'm just flipping through this book, there's some bondage, and various other fetishy things, but what would you say makes your work distinct?
I say Stag Street is more of my celebration of women and of all types, ethnicities, sizes. I don't discriminate anything. I pretty much, and since my work is trade for content, meaning we both shoot each other for free. You get to use the content. I get to use the content.
Right.
I feel like that helps weed out the certain kinds of divas in the adult world.
Yeah.
My work is also not just porn stars. It's burlesque. It's just nude models. It's runs the gambit. I have one trans model on there. I have Jiz Lee, who's a they.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's female. There's no men. And the work is just it because I think also trade for content. I try to talk to the model, like, what are you interested in bringing to the table?
Yeah.
So I've had models be like, I don't want to do spreads. And I've had other models like, hey, I have this toy or this latex hood I want to put on. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
And by spread, you mean like spreading their legs?
Yes.
Like
sorry.
No. It's like showing the pink, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I had a model like a little under a year ago and she was like, you don't do spreads. And I was like, people think I don't because of what I put on Instagram.
Right.
And the blog part of Stag Street is the free part, so you won't see that on there.
Right.
But if you pay, yes, you will see that. Even my boyfriend recently saw me retouching some pictures and he was like, you never do spreads. And I was like, oh, yes, I do. I do tons of them. And so he was like, but I pay attention to your site. And I was like, well, you didn't pay attention to this set and this set and this set of the past month. It's not like I'm going back 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
So so it's pretty much a little bit of everything, but it's celebrating women.
Yeah.
I want to celebrate all kinds and types. The only kind of model I have turned down is ones that are brand spanking new to modeling.
Mm. Interesting.
I talked to them about, hey, do you understand you're going to be naked on the internet for the rest of your life and then some? It's like a tattoo.
Yeah.
But you can't laser remove this away.
No.
And when you die, it'll still be on the internet.
Totally.
Unless the world explodes.
Well.
Which is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, we're like a week into in a certain era in America. So, let's...
In the week into the Cheeto King, I like to call him.
Yes. Orange Julius Caesar. Yes. So let's hope that...
The internet doesn't explode.
Yeah, net neutrality and just like general existence of the planet exists so that these naked pictures will, endure after we've all died of natural causes after a long, happy, fulfilling lives of freedom.
So when models contact me, I'm like, are you cool with being naked? Have you been naked before? If you haven't, go shoot with some other people. Also, there's models that have contacted me and they're like, oh, I want to shoot with you because I've seen you shoot X, Y, and Z and I want to use the images for X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I don't know if you understand like the collaboration. Like, I'm not going to shoot you in a certain style that you want. I want to collaborate that it's a style that we both like.
Totally.
So if you want a certain kind of boudoir pin-up-y style, you can pay me for them and then you can use the images and I won't use them. But it's more collaborative.
Well, it is an interesting model because, you have your site and there's certain content that you want for your site, certain styles, a certain vision. And then, I'll speak for myself and say, like, we were just talking about how I had even forgotten that you shot the logo for my show. And that was for a shoot that we did with like three or four different looks.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some that I used to promote my work as a dominatrix, some that I, then eventually years later used to, as like the imagery that promotes my podcast that I use as like author photos. Like,
yeah, because the one that you have of you sitting on the speaker, it was way before you did the podcast. So didn't think that like...
Yeah.
It just so happened that speaker was there at the location that we had.
Yeah. And so, for me, like... anything that is like sleazy rock and roll, that makes me feel comfortable and confident and sexy, and that is like my style. And so, like, as soon as I got on top of that speaker, I feel like I felt so much more comfortable like writhing around and posing than I did just like standing there in heels, yes. You know? And so, yeah. And then when it came time to put together the like branding for the podcast, I was like, well, like a Marshall stack is like not exactly like the same as a podcast, but close enough.
It gets the idea across.
Yeah. And you know, and yeah, exactly. And it indicates a certain like, rock and roll, attitude. But my point is that, you know, like you, like on your site has naked pictures of me with spread, I think. I don't
even remember sometimes.
Yeah. I think I did. I think because I felt, I think actually like I didn't until I got on the speaker.
Oh, okay.
And then once I was on the speaker, I was like, yeah, I'm like powerful, like, you know, groupie slut or whatever. and like, I'll totally spread my legs, for, you know, like electric boner style. But anyway, so you have that on your site, and then like you didn't have to pay me for that content, and then I didn't have to pay you to
use it,
to have these images that I can use to promote my work. Yeah. Right, so it's like a trade of equal value.
Yes.
Right, so that's what I'm hearing is the situation with a lot of the models that you work with.
Yes.
Most of the models,
all
of
them. Yeah. Yeah, unless it was like I shot them for Playboy or Penthouse, then that was like a different story.
Right.
We all got money from, right, Penthouse or Playboy.
Right.
And then I had to sign the rights away to Penthouse to keep the images, so,
right, and then you, yeah, don't get to use them on your site.
Well, the only good thing about Penthouse is I would shoot four sets and they would take two, so I would have two for my site.
Cool.
And two for the girls, so,
and the,
yeah,
you and the model are both getting paid.
Yeah.
By,
yeah,
so it's
a win-win-win,
subsidizing content.
Yes.
For both of you.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
I haven't shot for them in years, but it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, you know, what you alluded to is that if somebody wants to hire you for your considerable photographic talents or portraiture talents, and they want to completely art direct it and have complete ownership of the images, that's fine. And you have a rate for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
And then, like, I was talking to a burlesque girl who wanted to do that. And I was like, yeah, here's my rate. And I'll retouch the images and you could resell these. You can make your rate back, my rate back, and,
yeah,
then some. So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. But I've also done boudoir shoots for housewives.
Right. What? Tell us a little bit about boudoir photography, because it was not something that I was familiar with until a few years ago.
Yeah, it seems like it's like an upswing of being popular these days. I think because of Pinterest.
Interesting.
I feel like there's a lot of funny things that Pinterest has opened up, like maternity photos and stuff, which I've done that as boudoir, because boudoir can be anything from sexy pictures in lingerie to I've done it in studio, in hotel rooms.
So the idea of boudoir photography is when someone who is not a professional model and has no like interest in becoming one per se wants sexy or nude portraits of themselves, like the idea behind boudoir is like in their bedroom, in their like natural habitat, basically. And like sometimes it's like a gift to a partner, sometimes,
yes,
it's like I'm banging and I want pictures of me right now, or, you know,
yeah,
something, any motivation like that.
Yeah, I've had ladies who find out they're pregnant and they're like, I need to photograph my body before it gets big.
Totally.
And like, you know, encapsulate what's going on right now. And women who are just about to get married or Valentine's Day or anything like that. So
cool.
Yeah. But then there, I have a contract for that says they're completely private. I will not show them to anyone.
Mm.
You own the images. However, you can't sell them. Like if I've become super, super famous 20 years down the line from now, you can't sell them,
mm-hmm,
to,
mm-hmm,
try to make profit off of it. But it's just strictly private. Yeah.
I love the idea of empowering average citizens to be able to take and look at naked pictures of themselves. I hope that the popularity of that also creates empathy for the people who choose to do that,
yeah,
for a living.
Yeah. I think it does. I think the only reason I started doing boudoir is because I had Stag Street and people were coming up to me like, can you shoot me like that? But I don't want it to be on Stag Street. And,
right,
I'm like, yeah, if you pay me.
Right.
And so I started doing so many of those through word of mouth that I like put together a website just for that and a Yelp page. And so then I get strangers I've never met before who want me to photograph them. And the one thing I think that helps me is I'm a girl.
Mm.
And being a female photographer, when you're giving your husband-to-be naked pictures of yourself as a gift and they find out that it was a male photographer, that's a little strange versus a female photographer. Then they're like, oh, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a lot of clients that, because I have had people email me like, what's your rate? And my rate is a little on the higher side only because I've been doing this so long and it's time consuming. But they're like, oh, that's much more than Groupon, which had $75 coupon for it. And I'm like, you go do that Groupon, because I bet you $1 million it's some creepy guy on the other end of that.
It's a GWC.
Yes. Who is keeping those photos of you naked for his own spank bank.
Yeah.
Like, because Groupon takes half of that 75.
Well, and also, but, you know, part of the derisiveness of the way that I speak about the GWC is that this is not somebody who, you know, the typical guy with camera is not someone who has studied the art of photography, who has experience with the craft of portraiture. It's somebody who bought some gear and is like, cool, so now that I have an expensive camera.
And a Model Mayhem page.
And a Model Mayhem page, women will come to my house, or I can go over to their houses and they will get naked for me. And all I have to do is like point my surrogate dick at them.
Yeah.
And
I've seen those pictures. They're not pretty or flattering.
There are some of me that I am like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Yeah. You know, I after a couple of those, I was like, I won't be fooled again.
Yeah.
But then
these guys are setting it up where you pay them through Groupon.
Yeah.
That's even scarier.
Yeah. That's even worse. Right. Exactly. So then part of what people are doing when they are hiring you is also, you know, supporting a female artist in a profession that is totally dominated by machismo. And
I've been a professional photographer for 18 years.
Yeah, dude.
Like, before I started the erotica stuff, I was signed to an agent in 1999.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I have a resume of professionalism.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You're not just paying for the images. You're paying for my studying, my equipment, my time, my everything.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
What do you think the members of Stag Street love about your pictures? And more generally, why do you think people are into erotic pictures, stills of naked women, stills of naked people in general, you know, softcore images? Why are people into that?
I have heard people say everything from my images of my models make my models look like girls next door,
mm-hmm.
that they look like friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm always like, no, they're professionals, because I've had people like even my book signing event or any kind of other event that I've had, people are like, oh, well, your models are all going to stop by, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, because they have unlimited time and they live in my backyard and like I keep them in a shed. So, but I'm like, no, they're actually, and they're like, oh, I thought they were all your friends. And I'm like, no, they're pros. Like, I work with the pros. Shooting my friends, it wasn't as easy to put it on in the internet.
It turns out modeling is really hard, and some people are really talented at it, and some people, just like any other craft, work really hard at being good at it, including the ability to make it seem like you are just the quote-unquote girl next door.
Yeah.
To make it seem as if you are, oh, you just caught me. I just happened to be naked and I woke up like this. Like, you know, or like, oh, it seems like we're friends. I have like a relaxed, friendly demeanor. Like, that is an incredibly hard thing to do. And because it's something that we expect women to do, I think that our society totally undervalues that.
Oh, completely.
And probably the same also with photography.
Oh, completely.
That people are like, oh, well, you just like point the camera at someone and then you have a picture, right?
Well, if I don't have a photo shoot that week, people think I'm not working.
Right.
And I'm like, do you know how much work I do sitting at my desk?
Oh my God.
Like, just because I'm in my PJs while I'm doing it doesn't mean it's not work.
Oh, man. Well, that's the motto around here. I think you know that. But, yeah, so go on.
So I think if you do look at Stag Street, you will see professional models looking very comfortable and like friends. And I've had most of my models say that to me, that when shooting with me, they were like, I felt like I was just hanging out and these pictures just happened.
Yeah.
Because I try to be friendly and talk and like try to like really enjoy the person and in that moment, like, let's hang out and make pictures instead of me just directing you. So but then I think why people like my photography is, well, I guess there are certain models out there, like Casey Marie has a huge following for being like this girl next door pinup-y type. So some people will join my site just to see that work. I have this one guy who emails me at least once a year because he's obsessed with Justine Haro. And she's like, where's more content on her? He asked me recently to send him every single unretouched picture and that he would pay me $100 for it.
For all of them or each picture?
No, all of them.
How did you feel about that?
I said, no.
No.
I said, you get what you get. I spent a lot of time retouching and picking out. You don't need the unretouched ones.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Like, people don't write musicians and say,
send me,
will you just send me your like your demos? Like, before, hey, send me everything from before it was mastered. Like, you don't like write a like a filmmaker and say, like, I would like to see
all the rough cuts
from before, like, the, you know, the like sound mix or the like color touch-ups. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are some super fans of like Quentin Tarantino who like do want to see that, but they're not gonna write Quentin Tarantino and say, I'll give you $100
But they'll buy the DVD director's cut with all the commentary. They'll buy that.
Sure.
You know?
And if you made a like raw, untouched, collection, then somebody can buy that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they can't just like, you know, get it from you wholesale.
Yeah, no. I was like, no. I have actually another funny thing that I know this is kind of on topic, off topic, but I've had some people say they bought my book and they want me to sign it.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, sure. Mail it to my boyfriend's work.
Yeah.
I'll sign it. As soon as I give them the address to my boyfriend's work, dead silence.
Interesting.
And I'm like, oh, so you're a creep who just wants my address and using my book to get my address. I'm like, that's so...
it's sketchy.
Right. And I know better to give somebody my address.
Yeah. Oh, man. Especially, I mean, obviously doxing and stalking has been going on for a long time. But if people aren't affected by it, even like well-meaning people just don't even realize like what a scary and disrespectful thing that is to ask.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but they think they're being smart and crafty by asking it in that way.
I love porn and I love like looking at sexy images and like getting turned on and jerking off or like getting in the mood or whatever. But I've always sort of, it has never been my taste to like look at naked pictures of people that I find sexy just standing there, like nude or in lingerie. Like, that's probably not, that might give me like a little like, ooh, but like, that's probably not going to be the thing that I can like look at and then come from.
Yeah.
But I know lots of people do and also prefer that. And maybe it's because, you know, we're still of the generation that can remember like an adolescence where you had to like get your porn from like, you know,
a magazine in the woods.
Exactly. Or like somebody else's stash, or like, you know, one person at school like had like a magazine that they would like pass around. So those grooves get carved into your head of like, okay, like that is the first thing that I remember like exciting, or like exciting me or stimulating my curiosity about sex, about other people's naked bodies, like about sexually suggestive imagery. But what do you think people are excited about when they look at the pictures that you've taken and jerk off to them?
Well, one, if people do jerk off to my pictures, awesome. I don't want to know about it.
Sure.
I have had people come up to me and they're like, tell me that. And I'm like, thanks, but no thanks. But I always tell people, well, maybe I should start with how I define porn versus erotica.
I would love to hear that.
I personally define it as porn, I think, has a actual goal to titillate.
Interesting.
Versus erotica or art is for the artist to make. And if other people enjoy it, that's a secondary thing.
That's a really interesting distinction. I like that because so much of the distinction around porn and erotica is, I've written about this before, is usually very classist because it's an idea of like, oh, if there's something like really like raw and dirty and obscene and gross to me, then that's porn. But if it's erotica, then it has some sort of artistic, redeeming quality, and that is acceptable, and that's like about
that
sensuality.
Could be in a museum,
or like it's about real human connection, you know, but not this other like, you know, like stuff that I find disgusting. And it's like that's just a difference in taste, right? But you're describing something that is more about the intention of the producer, the intention of the creator,
versus the audience,
right? So if you like, you're not specifically producing naked images hoping that people will buy memberships to your site, buy your book, and with the primary objective being getting turned on and jerking off.
Yeah,
you are making your art, you know, that some people find it very, it's, you know, it's obviously, you know, you play with eroticism is an element of your work, but it's not the primary objective of your work.
My primary objective is to create something that I love with the person I'm creating it with. And the secondary thing is the audience. The audience, I hope, will be there to help me keep creating the work. Because the money is wonderful to keep making more work.
Absolutely.
But it's, and it is a job. It's very time consuming. So that money is helps also. But at the same time, I think porn, when you go on a porn shoot, you know there's a certain amount of looks and things that you have to do to titillate the audience. And you're getting paid, everybody's getting paid, so they can make money off of it.
It's not a question of like, do you feel like spreading your legs? It's like, you're getting paid, your legs spreading right to be here with the expectation that you're going to spread your legs and like, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. Like, I think this stuff on Stag Street is not porn. There's pornographic stuff about it. But even going back to the conversation about Penthouse, I was hired, the models were hired to create porn.
Right.
So it was funny because I'd be like, well, sorry, ladies, I don't usually say this, but do you mind going down on each other now? Because we need that picture. And I would say it in the, like, the nicest way. Like, a lot of my models always laugh at me because I'm like, do you mind dropping your panties now? Like, I try to say it in the nicest, because I think about it, like, the tables turned. Like, how would I want somebody to say it to me?
Totally.
So.
Oh, and you have had the camera turned on you a couple of times.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen those pictures.
If you Google them, they're out there. Yeah. So I think about that. I think about like, how do I want to be treated? So, but with porn, it's different because we all walked in that day knowing there's a certain thing we have to agenda.
Yeah.
Versus the work I do for Stag Street. There's the only agenda is that I make beautiful images that you and me and the model like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what originally attracted you to being interested in that, in making that kind of art?
I'm a pervert.
Well, you're in good company.
I think I've been a pervert since I can remember.
Oh, it's also really, I'm so glad that you brought up that your image is the logo of this show, because it's also helping me to like realize that it's just like an all pervert operation over here. Why are people into that? It's like mostly me, but like the people that, you know, that I have hired to like, you know, do the music and do the web design and everything like that. It's like, yep, all perverts.
And I used to, when I went to the School of Visual Arts to get my BFA in the late 90s, and I had a mentor, George Pitts, who's also a erotic photographer. And I used to always say, I'm a pervert. And he's an older gentleman. And he was like, you can't say that. That's not. And I was like, I don't think pervert these days is a bad word. But he saw it as a bad word, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, but calling myself a pervert is just understanding that I like sex. I am titillated by things around me. I'm very curious. I'm very voyeuristic.
Yeah.
That's why I'm more of a photographer than a model, because I am a voyeur. My models are exhibitionists.
Yeah.
And I like working with professional exhibitionists. But yeah, I remember when I first started shooting when I was 16 in junior year of high school, I was trying to do stuff that was slightly sexy and erotic.
Yeah.
But my teacher was like, you're 16. You can't do that. It's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were certain things that I was doing. Even I took the photography class for the 2 years I was in high school. And so I had turned 18 by then. And she was like, you can't show these photographs because we have people under the age of 18 in the school. So once I went to SVA in New York City,
you were like, all bets are off.
I was like, tits out. Like, let's dive into this.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so that's how I got started. I mean, like, in the 90s, I loved Madonna's Erotica album. And Madonna in the 90s was just killing it with.
Oh, you know, can you see? Oh, I have the sex book right up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, that to me is Madonna's height of her owning her everything.
I agree,
you know?
With you. Oh, also, it's so funny, that book, because you know about how I can't remember who published the book, but they were like, okay, you can do this, but you can't have bestiality, and you can't have anybody underage, and you can't have this, and you can't have that. Oh, and you can't have piss. So she did. There are all of these like
she got double, close to it,
right? These like double entendres.
Yeah.
Like there's a picture of her like naked, I think in like a bunny costume, and she's like playing with a puppy.
Yes.
And the way that it's juxtaposed makes it look like, I think like that the dog
is
going.
Yeah, the dog's licking her. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not.
Yes.
But and it's like a playful, funny picture. And then there's like some picture.
There's that picture with her leaning back on a fountain. So it looks like she's peeing like
exactly.
a boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, you're right. I agree. That is totally like the height of Madonna's like creativity and hotness, frankly.
Yeah.
And just
owning
just, like,
herself
and her, and the thing that made Madonna so iconic, which was her like, you know, not giving a fuck attitude and being funny and to like taking her power and like rubbing it in people's faces.
Yeah,
totally.
And being a slut
and being a total slut.
And she was being the first like female slut, because men were sluts.
I don't know if she was the first out and brown female slut, but she
in that celebrity female slut that so everybody knew her name. She was a household name.
You're right. She is
like, I'm not
definitely the most famous out and proud slut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of maybe of like
and not apologizing at all.
Absolutely never.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No,
she wrote a whole song. Her follow-up album to Erotica was basically like, you want me to apologize for this?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she was like, it's human nature. That song Human Nature was all about her being like, really? Because I'm a bitch and I'm a slut, I have to apologize? Like, so yeah, no, I loved her in the 90s. She was my god. Like, I had all these pictures of her on my ceiling, so I'd go to bed at night and stare up at Madonna, my god, you know?
Oh, she would love how blasphemous that is. I'm reminded of something that you said to me at one time, which was that you are like pretty much like mostly straight, but you love women and are obsessed with women. And so your art is a chance for you to exercise your voyeurism, your perversion, to like have this sort of like relationship of an erotic nature with women that is like very particular to you.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that on the way over here, how so many people have asked me in the past, like, you're not a lesbian? Then why do you photograph all these women? And I'm like, I have to like having sex with women to want to get them naked for my camera. Like, that's even weird to me.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what male photographers do.
Right.
So, but yeah, I tried bisexuality a lot through my teen and 20s. And I realized one day when somebody asked me how many sexual partners I had and I counted the number, the next day I realized I left out for all the women.
Interesting.
And I was like, holy shit, I'm straight. It wasn't until then where I like a light bulb went. And so, yeah, I probably, that's also why I don't shoot men, because I always call it the difference between church and state.
Interesting.
Like my sex life is my church and my work is my state, and yeah. I don't like to cross them. So I've never photographed any of my lovers. I don't like except for occasions like Buck Angel, but Buck is like another worldly creature, like, you know, but he's not on Stag Street.
Right.
So, because he's a dude and I photograph and celebrate women on Stag Street.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, and I'm very attracted to Buck. Like, I think he's just so fucking sexy. But yeah, so I do think that my work is living vicariously through my models and their exhibitionism and being a voyeur and appreciating them and exploring and learning so much from them. I mean, I've learned more and have had better friendships with women than I've ever had my entire life because of this work.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's like amazing. Justine Jolie taught me about how to take care of your vagina before and after sex so you get less yeast infections.
Awesome.
That was beyond one of the most knowledgeable. If I like die tomorrow, that would be the thing I take to my grave, you know, like, because I was having yeast infections like crazy in my 20s. And it wasn't until her simple and homeopathic advice, holistic advice.
Which is what, by the way?
Douching with a warm water and a tiny bit of tea tree oil.
Oh, before?
You can do it before, but mostly afterwards if you think you're going to get a yeast infection. Or where my boyfriend of 6 years, my partner now, I think our pH work really well together, so I don't break out in yeast infections anymore.
Oh, that compatibility is always nice.
It's huge.
Oh, you should put that on a Valentine's Day card. Like,
thanks for your pH.
Thanks for listening to episode 45. Tune in on February 15th for part 2. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the show on Acast, iTunes, etc. And please take a few seconds to write a review and tell your friends about the show. I'm almost at 50,000 listeners a month, and the more people that are listening, the more that the show can sustain me, which means the more I can do the show. Visit whyarepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. As ever, Why Are People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Vivid Windows from Oakland, California. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque. And this project is sponsored in part by my generous and oh-so-photogenic patrons. Experience the golden hour by pledging patreon.com/TinaHorn. Until next time, I'll be in the dark room. Where else?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.